Blog Talk Radio.
This is the ACAC Radio Network. Welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings here at Allegheny Center Alliance Church with your host, John Stanko. This program will focus on people, events, and current ministries at ACAC, a vibrant urban congregation in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, do you remember the sound of my voice? Yes, I'm back. It's been since February since we did an internet radio show here on Ministry Beat on the ACAC network. But this is John Stanko, and I'm back. And the rumors of my demise or departure are greatly exaggerated. It's just been a busy 2.5 months, and I truthfully just did not have time to pre-record shows. We're back, and I'm back, and we're going to be doing more regular shows. Already have something lined up next week, and this week we've got a good show lined up with two ACAC members, Karen Bailey and Janet Hansom, who will be talking to us about starting their nonprofit ministry called Africa Book Bags. So we'll be bringing them on, I think, them in a moment. I see one caller on, and I was assuming both were going to be on, but maybe one. But Janet and Karen are partnering to found and form a nonprofit, and they both were in Kenya. So I'm sure we will talk a little bit about what the trip was like and what impact it had on their lives. I was just looking through the blog that we did, the travel blog, because I need to document some things we did for our accounting department. And so it just brings back great memories. And many, many of you followed that blog and wrote us while we were in Kenya, and we really, really appreciate it. Not only has it been a while since I was doing radio, it's been a while since I've been in church. Kathy and I went Saturday night. Been the first time since I spoke there, February 21st, 22nd. Not that we were playing hooky. Kathy was there, but I was first in Kenya, and then I was home for 5 days. Then I was off to Guyana, South America, where I spent about 11 days, but that was over 2 weekends. And then I came home, and it was Easter weekend, and we went down to the D.C. area to help our daughter move into her new home. And the following week, April 11th, was her wedding, so we went back down to the Virginia area for that. And then we came home, and I can't really think of many times I've been in the city and haven't gone to church. So as soon as we got home, we were back in church Saturday night. Heard Pastor Rock talk about holy ground. I have the notes right in front of me. And so we were back, and we were engaged. And so it was good to see everybody, and I think a lot of people were glad to see us. So of course, we're well into 91 Weeks with Jesus, the Know the Word program that we are working through as a congregation. Pastor Rock was looking at Exodus 3, the burning bush experience that Moses had. Gave some perspectives that I had never heard before that gave me a lot to think about and reflect on, and picked up a bulletin, as I always do. So let's see. We have a couple of things you need to be aware of before we get started with our interview with the ladies who started Africa Book Bags. But let's see, ministry changes effective May 1st. Pastor Don Tucker will move from Worship Ministries pastor to pastoral care. Pastor Karen Dilliman will move from Adult Life Ministries pastor to Worship Ministries pastor. Pastor George Furman will assume their lead role as Adult Life Ministries. And Elizabeth Dega will begin as part-time Women's Ministries director. So you will have those changes to look forward to. I know all of the people. They're very capable. And so I know this transition was talked about for a while. Let's see. We're going down the bulletin here. Membership class, May 2nd, if you're interested in being a member of ACAC. Saturday, May the 2nd, from 8 to 12:45 p.m. We have this Saturday, my creativity team meets. So we call G1 Saturday at 1 o'clock, in UP206, and we'd love for you to come. If you're creative or want to be creative, we invite you to come out to this time when we just encourage one another, sometimes share with one another the creative projects that we have going on, pray for one another. Sometimes I do a little teaching. And so that is coming up this Saturday, April the 25th. And in 3 weeks after that, I'm having a purpose seminar on Saturday, May the 16th from noon to 4:30. You can register. It's free. You can register online at ac.net/calendar, or you can drop me a line at johnstenko@gmail.com. And then I saw a promotion for the Man Up Conference at June 6th at Orchard Hill Church. Join Mike Tomlin, Ed Glover, Tunjogin, and Derwin Gray for an incredibly, not just dynamic, an incredibly dynamic. You know, incredible means unbelief. So you just, anyway, an incredibly dynamic day of worship, teaching, fellowship, and breakout sessions. Breakfast and lunch are included. I think early bird registration by April 30th. You save $10. To learn more, you can register or go to www.manuppittsburgh.org. Manuppittsburgh.org. And that'll look strange because it has two P's. Manuppittsburgh.org. So check that out. I know we always have lots of men who head up to the Man Up Conference up at Orchard Hill Church up Wexford area. So it's always a good time for the men. Well, I've had a great 2 months. I'm glad to be home, wrapping up some of my classes. Finals are this week at Geneva College, and that means papers to read and exams to create and papers to grade and submit the grades. And unfortunately, I'm going to miss graduation this year. I haven't missed it in 5 or 6 years, but I'm going to be in New York for a couple of consecutive weekends, so I am going to miss the graduations. Doing lots of writing. We've, through Urban Press, our new publishing company, we've put out a couple of new projects, which we're very excited about, a couple of more that are in the works. So it's really lots of good stuff going on. So, but it's great to be back, and it was great to see everybody, as I said. Okay, without further ado, let's go ahead and bring on our guests or guests. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Karen Bailey and Janet Anthem.
Oh, you're calling from the same phone. How efficient of you! I should have known. So who's speakerphone? Where are you?
We're at my kitchen table.
All right. Well, just speak up a little louder than usual, since we have a little bit of distance between you and the speaker, but. Thank you so much, both, for joining us, and I want to talk a little bit about your nonprofit. But first, I want to let our listeners get to know you a little bit better. Karen, we already heard your voice, so we'll start with you. Tell our listeners a little bit about Karen Bailey.
Well, I won't tell you my age, but let's just say I'm middle-aged to maybe a little older. I'm a single mom. I have two children. My son still lives with me, and he was recently in a bad accident, so I've been taking care of him. My daughter is married, and I'm a nurse. I work in Oakland.
Okay, and where do you work?
I work at Montefiore Hospital. In transplants.
Wow. So are you in the operating room?
No. Thankfully, I am not. I just work in a cubicle. They didn't let me in the operating room.
Aha. I see. And how did you get to ACAC?
Many years ago, my daughter was doing an internship when she was attending Geneva College. And she needed to learn how to drive to Allegheny Center. So I drove with her one Sunday morning, and we came to church, and I fell in love with it.
Really?
So,
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
And didn't you also meet Pastor Don?
I did, yes.
When he had his transplant? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was his nurse for a while. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how I met you. I remember being in church, and Pastor Tucker, you know, called me over and introduced you to me, and that's how we met.
Yes, he always says, "This is my nurse."
Yep. Mm-hmm. I remember that. So, how long have you been at UPMC?
It's been 14 years now.
Wow.
Mhm.
I won't ask any more questions about UPMC. We don't want to get any information on recording that you don't want to be remembered for. So,
okay.
Where'd you go to nursing school? Are you a Pittsburgher?
Yes, I went to West Penn Hospital Nursing School.
Oh, yes.
Grew up in Pittsburgh in Hampton.
Okay. So you've been a northern part of Pittsburgher all your life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Ms. Handsome, your turn. Tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Well, I am a retired nurse. I retired last August after 46 years of nursing. And
wow.
Yeah, it was a very good thing. I was ready to retire from nursing, but I did enjoy my career as a nurse. But better things have come along that I'd like to focus on. I have three
mm-hmm.
adult children. I have four grandchildren. I grew up in Munhall, PA, and went to Munhall High School, which is no more. And then I went on to Pittsburgh Hospital School of Nursing, and then to get my bachelor's degree.
And Pittsburgh Hospital was Southside. Where was it at?
It was in East Liberty on the corner of Frankston and Washington Boulevard. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. And how did you get to ACAC?
Well, approximately 10 years ago, I was searching. I was searching to rededicate my life to the Lord. I was searching for a church. And a good friend of mine, DeVorn, who I worked with at the time, brought me to ACAC, and I've never looked back. I just felt at home right away and decided that that's where I wanted to stay.
Yeah, and we're glad. And so, what you been doing with your retirement since your time since you retired?
Well, working on our nonprofit, which has been a blessing, just to work on something that is a passion for us, and to be able to spend time doing that and not have to worry about getting up and going to work and being exhausted all the time. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to do something that you love. Really has made me grow.
Yeah, yeah. Karen, are you jealous?
I am. You know I am.
but your day will come, and it's already here because you this is part of your dream come true as well. So so let's talk a little bit, ladies, about how you got to Kenya and some of your Kenya experience. Karen, will bounce back to you and talk about your initial decision to go, where you went, what your experience was. Don't talk about this year's trip yet. We'll get into that. But just talk about your initial decision to go and your initial encounter with the country and the people of Kenya, Karen.
Well, my first trip, I had been through a difficult time in my life, and I was feeling very heartbroken. I had had a loss. My daughter had left home, and
mm-hmm.
our relationship had become estranged, and I couldn't fix it, and there was nothing I could do about it. And as a mom, I felt I felt that loss deeply because I'm very maternal. I love children, and I love my children.
Sure.
And I just was searching and crying out to God, you know, what can I do? You know, I felt like, well, this is it. My life is over. But God kept saying to me, no, there are many children that you can love. And you know, I kept hearing about this trip to Africa, and I thought, well, why not go and love these children? So God just really laid it on my heart to go, and I knew that that was from Him, because I'm just a chicken at heart. I'm a kid from north of Pittsburgh. I mean, 20 years ago, you wouldn't even catch me driving to Oakland, let alone the north side. To think that I would get on a plane and fly to Kenya, no, I don't have the guts to do anything like that. But I was completely at peace with going to Kenya. I knew that that was from God. So, but going to Kenya was, I still was going with a very heavy heart and really with a broken heart. So when I went, I felt kind of like, the odd man out, because people were happy and cheerful, and I felt like I was carrying a heavy weight. And I felt like I knew that I was excited because I knew God was going to do something amazing, but I had no idea what or how. And I remember the first place we went that first Saturday when we got up, we went to Each One Touch One Orphanage. And I know that you and Janet have heard this story a zillion times, but you're going to hear it again. We went and we had our meal, and after the meal, everybody gathered in the courtyard under the mango tree, and we were all just sitting around talking. And I ended up with two little girls in my lap, two little orphan girls. And the one got up and she ran off and started playing, and the other one stayed in my lap long enough that she was comfortable sitting there, and she ended up turning sideways, and she was so comfortable that she laid her head against my chest, and she just really just laid hard on my chest, and I just started brushing her, stroking her face, and my mind started going back to my daughter and the last time I held her. And of course, I was fighting back tears. And I was thinking, don't cry. Everybody will think, you know, what's the matter with you? But it was a God moment. I knew that God had orchestrated that moment, because it was as though everybody else under that tree faded away, and it was me and that little girl and God. And in that moment, that little girl began to minister to my heart, to my brokenness, and made me realize that there is something left on this earth for me to do, and God has something for me to do, and there are many children in this world that I can touch, and God has a lot of children that I can love and minister to. And the name of that little girl is Joy, and that's not a coincidence. God put her on my lap because He started to restore my joy that day. And it's just been, I mean, He did an amazing work in me on that trip. I mean, He just changed life, and He gave me a new purpose. So I will never forget her. I'll never forget her.
Yeah, and that, of course, was in August 2011, not my finest event I've ever planned. We had a lot of challenges that trip, but it really didn't impact you in the negative, did it?
No, it was an awesome trip for me. It was, I will never forget it, never.
Yeah. And of course, you went back with us this year, and we'll get back to that in a minute. Janet, how about you? What tell our listeners a little bit about your history and how you made the decision to go to Kenya and what your experience has been like.
Well, I kept. I also have worked with Sharon White in the past, and I heard Sharon talking about going to Kenya and just talking about everything there, and never in my life would I ever dream of going to a third world country. I mean, that would be just unheard of. In growing up, everything in my family had to be planned 6 years ahead of time, you know, from going out for ice cream to whatever. And so anything at all out of the ordinary would be strange for me. But in listening to Sharon talk, listening to you talk, I thought about how it would be to go there, and I needed to get rid of my tunnel vision. I was focused on my own issues, my own problems, too focused on that. And I think God took me there to just show me that there is more to life than my tiny problems. And, you know, and it did. My first trip, I came home and I was on a high for 2 weeks. I just couldn't imagine, you know, that there was so much more to life than just my little world.
Yeah.
And just praise God for showing me those precious children, the precious people of Kenya, and, you know, what we could do, just even just one person can do, if that is what God wants them to do.
Yeah, yeah. So, Janet, how many times have you been back now?
I've been there 4 times.
Yeah. Why? Well, somebody may be listening and say, why keep going back? I mean, you've been there and you've seen it. Go someplace else. Go do something else. Why keep going back?
Well, we've established relationships with so many people there, churches, orphanages, schools. I feel like they're my family. I feel like those people are just my family. And in going back every year, we get to see this family, and we get to see, you know, their lives improved. And it's a precious time. It's a precious time to go back, fellowship with them, be with the children, and just enjoy that moment of being there and knowing what God has done. It's just awesome.
Yeah. We also say when God wants to speak to you, he takes you on a trip, and you can't ever be guaranteed God will reveal himself and here if you don't go. So when we go, it's just such a special spiritual experience, too, for all of us. That because I get that question a lot. Why do you keep going back? But as you said, we build relationships. We want to invest in those relationships. We want to go back and see how they're doing, see how we can help, and also hold them accountable. You know, for the things that we have together agreed that we're going to do, that we're helping them fund as they do it, and it's just something. Once you start it, you really can't let go of it. It's too good and it's too important. Jana, talk to us about this last trip. That was your fourth trip. What were your impressions? What were your thoughts? What did you see perhaps you hadn't seen before? What did you learn, or what was reiterated to you? Just tell our listeners a little bit about the last trip. We did it February 26th to March the 14th. Talk to us about that.
Oh, well, the trip was wonderful. The team was wonderful. It's wonderful to go and kind of be an old-timer and see the new people go and watch their experience, watch what they take in, and that's a blessing. And then also to fellowship in church with the people, you look forward to that because that is a blessing. God always seems to meet me on Sunday mornings there, you know, with just an incredible enthusiasm for worship. And I also then, you know, we saw the widows and how the widows are now becoming self-sustaining, and how, you know, the first time I saw them, they were serious, they were somber, and now they're smiling and they're happy to see us. To see Felix and meet his mother this time for me. Felix is a little boy that we raised money to buy him hearing aids. And to see him smiling now because he can hear, and to meet his mother was a joy. And so just like I said, just seeing the improvements, the people and how they've changed and how glad they are to see us, and their graciousness seems to know no bounds. It just fills me up.
Yeah, and of course, this time the logistics, as I call them, it was the hottest it's ever been. They were saying it was record heat. They have a serious drought going. The corn crop has failed, which, of course, is going to create some real problems for them down the road. But even though the conditions were tougher, I thought we as a team, and we had you and Karen and so many veterans who really helped move things along and keep everybody focused, I really thought we had just a super time and a super trip. And so and you've gone every year, Janet, for the last 4 years. Now, Karen, we'll go back to you. You haven't been there in you went again a second time in 2012, so you hadn't been there in 3 years. What were your thoughts upon returning?
Well, it was, I was very impressed, having missed two trips. I was very impressed to see how much progress had been made in 2 years. So I really saw a big difference in several of the ministries, and in the children, too. You know, they had grown. They looked healthier. You know, they had made so much progress. And that really struck me. I also was, like, totally amazed with Pastor Peter and the work that he's doing, the many ministries, the progress of his ministries, the number of libraries. I mean, it's like, I don't know, he's like the Ever Ready Bunny. God has truly gifted him. But I think that it still all boils, to me, it still all boils down to what draws me to Kenya is the people. I just love the children, and I love the people. They are so kind and gracious, and the Christians, I have so much to learn from their faith. And the children just, it's those spontaneous moments that you have when you're in a classroom with them, or you know, sitting alone with them when you're just having a conversation, that you think, oh my gosh, I will remember this for the rest of my life. I will take this to my grave. And nothing in this country could compare with an experience that you can have there, because there aren't children like those beautiful Kenyan children in this country. There's a purity and an innocence and a graciousness and a kindness. We were in a classroom at, I'm not going to remember the name of the school. It was the large school at the large church in Nakuru.
That was King's, yes. The King's Academy in Nakuru.
Yes. We were doing crafts in one of the classrooms up on the third level. And just a very spontaneous moment, the teacher had said to the kids, does anybody want to share with our guests any of their thoughts? And one by one, these kids just stood up and very graciously and eloquently just started saying how appreciative and thankful they were, and God bless us. And they were just so sweet, and they love us. And I mean, it was, of course, I was crying. You know how I am. I cry all the time. But then we had made bracelets with them, beaded bracelets, and this one young man stood up. He was about 12. He stood up and he said, well, I would like to give my bracelet for you to take back to a child in America so that they can wear this bracelet that I've made here in Kenya. Mm-hmm. Well, I did. I started crying even harder, because I thought, this is exactly what we're trying to build, is relationships with American children and Kenyan children, and, you know, attach a school in Kenya with a school in Pittsburgh. So it was just, they truly love us, and we truly love them. And it's just a connected, there's a connection that I can't explain. Unless you go and see it and feel it, it's like you say, it's like having leukemia. It gets in your blood and you can't get rid of it, but it's a big thing.
Yeah, it's a spiritual leukemia. There is no cure. I mean, people can try and treat you, but folks look at us like, why, you know? And also people say, why do you spend all the money, just raise the money and send it over there? But we could never raise that kind of money for the need. So we have to raise the money to go, and then it provides other opportunities for us to raise the money to invest in the people there. And so, you know, and we've taken almost 100 people now in the 9 trips that we've gone, and it's just been, it's impacted so many people. Of course, this Sunday, we're going to be at one of our graduates, one of our alumni, Pastor Jeremiah Thomas at Rapha Ministries in Homewood, who went with us 2 years and really has such a desire to go back with us. We're going to have a missions meeting at his church this Sunday morning, and then we're going to have a debrief meeting, and it just bonds the people together who have gone, whether they ever go back or not. It gives them a common experience that we can build on and talk about and reflect on, and God continues to use it and speak to us about it, and it has changed all of our lives, truly, as it has yours. You know, this is I just want to throw this in, and this is business about something else, but you know, I have my Saturday radio show next Tuesday night. I'll be pre-recording some shows for May. I need to talk to you ladies, see if you can come out to Green Tree and we can pre-record a show, because what you're talking about and what you're saying is really good stuff, and other people need to hear it. Okay, ladies, you've alluded to the fact that you have started an organization. Now, go back to Janet. Talk to us about, you know, where the thoughts were, where you started to think and strategize about the fact that God wanted you to do more and to work year-round to help the people in Kenya. Janet, just talk to us a little bit about how all that came about.
Well, I think first watching your nonprofit, how it has just grown into so many levels, into so many different things. I think we thought about the fact that, gee, if we started our own nonprofit, we could maybe be like that and do many, many things. And so the main thing we talked about was secondary education. And as you know, in Kenya, the children can't really go to secondary school or high school, as we call it here, unless they have money for books and tuition and uniforms, which is quite a hardship for so many. And if they don't go to high school, they could end up out in the street. And then we talk about sex trafficking and addiction and death, and that they have no future if they don't go to high school or secondary school. But so we thought, well, you know, we could start our Africa book bags and raise money for these children to go to secondary school so that they have a chance, they have a hope for the future, that they have something to hold on to. Because just thinking about those lives and have them just be lost in the streets because they couldn't go to school just breaks my heart. Kids here have no idea about not going to high school. You know, they just automatically go. But there, it's a big thing. And so we're hoping to raise money for that and to send the kids to school. And along the way, we'd like to get some Pittsburgh youth involved, maybe take them to Kenya, maybe show them what it's like to live in a third world country, maybe take away some of their tunnel vision, and get them involved, because they're a generation that should become involved. You know, I certainly won't be here forever, and none of us will be, but the youth can certainly take an interest and learn. so much just by taking a trip that perhaps we can provide scholarships for them to go to Kenya, and maybe we can change some lives here as well. So that's just the beginning. I mean, I'm sure there's many more things to come. I know that God has the plan, and we want to follow it. So we're going to start here at the beginning and do what we can and then see where it goes.
But, Karen, you're a couple of nurses. I mean, you know, why not just work with somebody else's nonprofit? I mean, do you really have the expertise? Do you have the know-how? Do you have the connections? I mean, why start your own nonprofit? What was your thinking? What was the Lord laying on your heart to even think about getting this started?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make sense. It would make sense if we went to Africa with a box of Band-Aids. But when you see a need and you know that God wants you to do something, I remember coming to your office after my first trip and saying to you, I know that God wants me to do something, to love these children. Now, should I sell my house and move to Africa? And you were like, whoa, wait a minute. I know that there is something that we can do. And yes, we're just two little women from Pittsburgh. We're two nurses. What do we know about nonprofits? But God is able, and what we don't know and what we lack, God can supply. So we're just trusting Him to lead us. He has put many people in our lives, including you as a mentor. We've got many contacts in Kenya that we know are trustworthy. And we feel that we have a pretty good plan. We already have some opportunities to speak at a church youth group. One of my coworkers has invited us to speak at her church youth group. So, and we're looking for other opportunities like that so that we can kind of spread the word, get kids connected here in Pittsburgh with kids in Kenya. So, you know, we're willing to start small and see where God takes us.
Yeah. Janet, was it an imposing thought? I mean, you're saying, start a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Was it? Did you dismiss it at first? Did it seem like it was too big a mountain to climb? Just what was involved in just even having the courage to say, yes, this is something that we want to do, that we're going to do?
Well, originally, there were a few women that we got together and decided we wanted to start a nonprofit. But we were just, you know, blind. We had no idea what to do first. And we kind of got together a few times, and nobody could even come up with a name. So it was like something's wrong here. And then you started a class, and the class was on how to start a nonprofit. And the class was just so amazing, so educational, made it so doable that we said, wow, anybody can do this if they have the heart to do it. And amazingly, it went so smoothly, and everything fell into place. And that's why I even wrote on Facebook when you posted about the class that, you know, if you have it in your heart to do it, take the class and go for it. Because it really is a doable thing. And we really have to thank you for that, because you are the one who really you were the answer to what we needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the information is out there. You know, if you're listening and you've got a goal, you don't have to know how you're going to accomplish it. That's where faith comes in. You just have to take your first steps, and then your eyes are open to information that's existed And it exists all around you, and you've just never seen it because you didn't need it. When you ladies created a need, that's when me or, you know, other people and other information showed up, and it and the rest is history, as they say. Karen, how about for you, sitting in those classes or in the initial discussions? Was this like, oh, there's no way, this is way beyond us? What were your thoughts as you considered a 501?
Yeah, I thought we're out of our minds. You know, we are way out of our league here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we're crazy.
Yeah.
This is absolutely insane. Two little nurses from Pittsburgh, starting a nonprofit for Kenya. What do we know about this? I thought we were out of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go and I see the need, and I think, you know, this is something, you know, when somebody asks for a drink of water, how hard is it to pour them a glass of water and hand it to them? And when somebody needs something to eat, how hard is it to dish up the food and hand it to them? So when a kid needs an education, how hard is it to provide some money and get it to the right person to provide that tuition money? I'm already providing tuition money for Mary Ann, so in Banana. So...
Mm-hmm.
This is not rocket science that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that, now, can we do this on our own? Absolutely not. But with God's help, this is doable. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And we are trusting him to provide because we do not have the resources.
Yeah.
But we are trusting him.
Yeah. Janet, where did the name come from, Africa Book Bags?
Well, that came from, actually, we got that. Karen, one of the years that she couldn't go, she bought book bags for the Each One Touch One Orphanage, one of the smaller orphanages that we go to. And we handed out the book bags to the kids, and they were elated. We were elated, just taking pictures of their smiles and their happiness. And so as we were thinking about names, we said, why not Africa Book Bags? And it just came out of that because she provided those backpacks to those children, and you would have thought we gave them $1 million.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Every kid has a book bag, so it's such a graphic reminder of one of the basic needs of a child as they're heading off to school and to get their education. And so, Karen, you and Jana raises a good point. The years that you didn't go, that you couldn't go because of your son's accident, you still stayed involved, didn't you?
Oh yes, I missed Africa terribly, and I was heartbroken when the group was going. I remember crying because they were leaving without me, but I knew that I had to stay home and take care of my son. He was very ill. So, but yes, I needed to send things with them to take to Kenya, and I needed to read the blog and make sure that I knew what was going on. Part of my heart is in Kenya. I may live in Pittsburgh, but part of my heart is in Nairobi.
Yeah. And you also sold some things the years that you didn't go, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I've done a lot of baking. You mean to raise money?
Right.
Yes, I made, I don't know, hundreds of pumpkin rolls and ice cream rolls, and I sell candy bars to raise money for the kids. So I've been doing that for a couple of years now.
Yeah, you've raised hundreds of dollars, And Jana, you've also, this isn't like you're not starting something so you can contribute into your own ministry. You also, I can attest to both of you how generous you have been to Purpose Quest International, the work that we have done. You regularly and consistently give outside of your own sphere, outside of your own world, and I'm grateful. I know the Lord has blessed you for it, will continue to bless you for it, and the children have been the benefactors of it. Let's go back. Janet was outlining, Karen, we'll stay with you, some of the goals that you have, some of the things, the reason you started Africa Book Bags. Let's go back over those one more time, make sure our listeners picked up on all those things. What are some of your objectives that you have and the reasons you have for starting Africa Book Bags?
Well, we want to provide for the children in Kenya. We want to provide educational opportunities and specifically secondary school. And for those children who maybe cannot go to secondary school, we would like to see them have the option of vocational training, either become a seamstress or a barber or a mechanic for the boys. There are many things that they can do, a hands-on type job so that they don't have to live on the streets. The other thing is with that vein, though, that encompasses many things because we're not just limiting our support to tuition money. If there is a need for food, for clothing, we don't want to just limit. We're not just going to say, okay, we'll pay for tuition, but we're not going to pay for your uniforms. We want to encompass every need, just like a backpack. Mm-hmm. You can throw gym clothes in a backpack or shoes. Many of the children don't have shoes. So if they have shoes, okay, we'll provide shoes. So we don't want to limit the resources. We want to empower them with whatever they need for their education.
Yeah, okay.
We also want to, for the purpose of broadening their world and the kids in this area, we want to connect them with children in Pittsburgh. Uh-huh. And that would be twofold, because they are blessed when we go to see them. They would also be blessed by being exposed to kids in Pittsburgh. If we could connect a school with a school in Pittsburgh, I believe that Arsenal School in Lawrenceville did this one year, and that was a real blessing. We would like to be able to do that, and also, as Janet mentioned, kids, if we're able to provide scholarships, just to broaden, they would probably be teenagers that we would be taking, or young adults, to broaden their world, and help them to see what a third world country is like, and really help them to see the value of education in this country. Kids are given so much, but in Kenya, the children truly value every bit of knowledge and education that they are offered, and it truly gives you a different perspective. And I think when we can expose American children to that, it's quite a learning experience.
Yeah. Jana, you just went to a seminar recently. What are you learning about running a nonprofit? What's the lifeblood of a nonprofit? What do you now have to pay attention to?
Well, there are many things you have to pay attention to. Of course, there's money out there. Obviously, there are grants. There are some organizations that do give grants to the work such as we want to do. But also, the most important type of giving is individual giving. In fact, individual giving accounts for 72% of all nonprofit giving is through individuals. So we would love to build relationships with people, show them what we're doing, show them our passion and enthusiasm, and hopefully they will become as passionate and enthusiastic as we are about helping these children and helping education go forward in Kenya. But there are many, many facets to a nonprofit organization in terms of how you go about meeting people, how you go about getting a grant. I mean, it's hard work, but it's certainly worth it when it's something that you know gives you such joy and such it rejuvenates you every day. Because you're doing something that gives you joy. So we have a lot to learn. We pray every day that God just leads us and teaches us and strengthens us, because we do still have a lot to learn. And I'm sure that will continue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as Chicago is saying, it's only the beginning. That's exactly right. What's it like, Karen, to travel with a team? We're together for 2 weeks, and you've done this 3 times now. Janet's done it 4 times. I'll give her a chance to speak to it. Is it tough? Does it enhance the experience? What's your take and perspective on traveling with a team for a couple of weeks overseas as we do?
Well, if I was to be quite honest, I would say it depends on the team.
Mm-hmm.
This last trip was an absolute joy. We were truly like a family, and I have to say that everybody was just so kind and gracious with each other. The men that we had, you know, Tim and James, were just treated every lady like, you know, we were their sisters, and everybody was just so kind and compassionate, and I mean it was a beautiful thing to see everybody mm-hmm. function together and be tolerant of each other. The one trip that wasn't, that you mentioned, was a little bit more challenging. I would say it was a more normal experience, where after 2 weeks, sometimes you get on each other's nerves.
Right.
That's life. I think mm-hmm. that's normal human nature. So, but I think that that's a good thing, because that's part of being in any church. We are mm-hmm. human. We are not perfect. The church is not made up of perfect people, and that happens when you go to any church. So if you get a group of Christians together, you know, there's bound to be things that are not perfect, but that's mm-hmm. part of working through it and learning to be gracious and kind, and it's an exercise in developing fruit.
Yeah, and forbearance. And Janet, how about you? What's your experience, and what's your take on traveling as a team?
Well, yes, you're 2 weeks with almost 24/7 with a lot of people, and it can become difficult at times. But we all have the same purpose. While we're there, and everyone does try to do their best. I witnessed something this past trip where there was a very small verbal altercation between two of the team members, and it was resolved very quickly. Mm-hmm. I believe the last thing the person said was, "Well, it's better to be righteous than right," and that was the end
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people really try to really be as kind as we can be, because sometimes for the new people, you know, if you remember what it's like for the very first time, it's mm-hmm. a big deal, and it can become a little overwhelming for people. So you want to try and really have patience and pray that, that God just lets you get along and help whoever needs help, and to just be a team and act like a team. And act like we are there for a, for one goal and one goal only, to do God's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. If somebody wants to donate Africa Book Bags, are you set up to take donations?
We are, actually. We have a post office box. It would be, now, Africa Book Bags is one word, capital A, capital B, capital B, and Bags is spelled B-A-G-Z. And we are at post office box 568, Indianola, PA.
568. And one P.O. Box 568, Indianola, PA.
15051.
So P.O. Box 568, Indianola, PA. 15051. And all contributions are tax deductible. And if you're listening, the reason I believe they went with Africa Book Bags with the unusual spelling one word is if you're trying to get a website or you're trying to find a name for an organization or in a ministry that's unique that somebody else hasn't taken, you sometimes have to be creative. My own organization is Purpose Quest, and it's one word with a capital Q. In the, so it, it just sets it apart from other entities. So Africa Book Bags, one word, capital A, capital B, capital B, and it ends with a Z. May look a little strange, but if you're looking for a website, if you're looking for a name to incorporate that is available, then that is why the ladies went that way. Now, you're not only incorporated in the state of Pennsylvania, you also have your IRS designation as a legitimate charitable organization, a 501c3. Janet, was that a tough designation to get from the government?
It actually was not that difficult, because it had been in the past. The form to do that is called a 1023, and, you know, it's a lot of pages. But now for smaller organizations, they've designated a form 1023EZ that you can actually do online, and it's very simple to do. And you send it off, and, well, actually, we heard back within 2 weeks from the government. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So, ladies, we'll close out. I really appreciate your time today. And again, if you're listening and you want to make a contribution to a wonderful startup, a nonprofit organization doing great work in Kenya, it's Africa Book Bags. One word, ends with a Z. P.O. Box 568, Indianola, Pennsylvania, 15051. Karen, any final words about somebody listening and thinking about maybe going, or they're kind of stuck in a funk in their life or their world? Any words of wisdom and advice for them?
I would just say, if you're stuck, I would just say go. God will speak in amazing ways. God will speak.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And that's what happened in your life. So you're not talking from hearsay. You're talking from firsthand experience. Janet, how about somebody thinking about, who are we to start an organization? They've had a dream, but they've been really fearful. What do you tell them as we close out today's show?
I would tell them pray. If they feel it's something God wants them to do, then they should just do it. Like you said, there are many resources out there. There are many, many people that can help and are willing to help. And the information is there. And I would tell them go for it, because life is short.
That's so true.
So I would say absolutely go for it. Don't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, ladies, thank you so much. And, of course, it's a privilege to serve on the board of Africa Book Bags. And it's a delight to work with you and to watch you develop and grow. And as important as the work is that you're doing through Africa Book Bags, it's the work is also doing a work in you. And it's very obvious. And you're growing in faith and you're growing in wisdom and you're growing in efficacy of your ability to make things happen. Your self-esteem is growing, your confidence in the Lord, your friendship. I mean, the benefits just keep on and on. So maybe think about if we can work something out for this Tuesday. I'd love to the week from today. If you could come out to Green Tree, we could pre-record a show. If not, we'll work out at another time, but pre-recording some to play in May. But I'm going to let you go now with, again, my thanks for a job well done. And we'll see you Sunday at Rafa Ministries for our debrief meeting.
All right. Thank you, Pastor John. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. There you have Janet Handsome, Karen Bailey, people just like you who went to Kenya and have responded to a need and to the call of God, started their own organization, Africa Book Bags. Highly encourage you to support the ministry, Africa Book Bags, P.O. Box 568, Indianola, Pennsylvania, 15051. And I love these ladies. I've watched them grow and develop. I admire, greatly respect their faith, and they're people that I would, they're good ground to invest in, people I would endorse and highly recommend for your consideration to support. Well, that's about it for today. It's good to be back. A great show to hear the ladies talk. Next week, we're going to have Karen Dilliman on, as you heard me talk at the beginning of the broadcast. She's got some new duties and responsibilities, and I've never had Karen on the show, which is a shame on me. So I'm going to talk to her next week about her, and she has made such important contributions to ACAC, and we're going to talk to her about the challenge of her new duties and responsibilities. So Karen Dilliman, next Tuesday, 4 o'clock, Ministry Beat. Until then, this is John Stanko. I'm back, I'm engaged, and I look forward to seeing you around the ACAC campus. Until we're face-to-face, thanks for listening in, and please spread the word about Ministry Beat. So long for now. Talk to you next week.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the ACAC Internet Radio Network for more interviews and insight into the life of Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.blogtalkradio/ACAC Threads. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.